jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Man, I'm glad I get to come down here every day and do this show, because otherwise I would drive myself crazy. No, some people don't like sheltering in place, whatever it is they're calling us right now. I don't mind it. I'm just be honest with you. I'm kind of an introvert anyway, and I've spent a lot of time doing a lot of research. And my wife struggles with it, because she's a servant, man. She just wants to serve people. And she feels like she's trapped. She can't get out and serve. And so it just shows how the Lord creates us differently and how we operate in different situations. We violated all kinds of laws yesterday because we had every one of our family members at my dinner table last night. We had my son's fiance, Adrian. It was her birthday. Well, we celebrated her birthday yesterday. So we had a bunch of us at the table. We sat around and we played this game. I can't remember what the name of the game is. And we laughed and I got my little grandbabies all around. Man. And you know really what's happening, and this is really a good thing. God's promise, by the way, is that all things, this is Romans 8:28, all things will work together for good. Doesn't say everything's going to be good. It says all things will work together for good. For who? For those who love the Lord and those who are called according to his purpose. All things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Called according to the Lord's purpose or called according to our purpose? Or are they the same? So no matter where we find ourselves, all things are working together for good. I can go back through my life and I can show you that some of the worst things that ever happened to me propelled me to a new level of spirituality, a new level in my life. It was bad. If the Lord had given me a choice of things that I would want to do, that would not have been one of them. That I wouldn't have wanted that to happen. I think about my football coaching career, and without bragging a whole lot, I was pretty good. I was pretty good. I was at the top. I was number, like they used to say about the old Billboard Top 40. I was number one with a bullet. In other words, I was a rising star. I'm just telling you the truth, all right? You know, it doesn't matter. I was 46 years old, and I got sued by the American Civil Liberties Union for praying with our football team. I'd received Christ about 10 years before that. I'm just doing math in my head. And had my faith walk was, it was good, but it was shallow. My faith walk was shallow. Name it, claim it, prosperity. Y'all know what I'm saying. Because you adopt the theology of your pastor. Your pastor's your teacher. I was a new Christian. That was the theology I led. And this best life now, although not that bad, but that same type of thing, that prosperity message, that name it, claim it, that plant your seeds and watch them grow. You guys all know what I'm talking about. Well, I was there. And I was being really, really successful, and the Lord was ordering our steps. And I wrote a book. In fact, I don't know if you can still find it. Most of you don't know it. I wrote a book that you can find on probably Amazon. Jared, you just go there and see if that book's up there. It's called A Season Ordered by the Lord. Amazon, is that where you would find it? Amazon or Barnes & Noble, wherever. A Season Ordered by the Lord. Let's see if it's still up there, Jared. Just bear with me a second, folks. I'm telling you a story. I'm taking you somewhere. Helping you this morning, if you let me. Helping you. Boy, I need a haircut. A Season Ordered by the Lord. And put my name in there. See if it doesn't pop up. He said, no, just put Dobenmeyer. Should probably pop. It ought to just pop up. Let's see here. Anyway, so I'm going along. I'm living. There it is. Right down to the second one. Right there it is. 1995. I guess they're selling them. I don't get any money for it. But I wrote it about the my first coaching year, 1990. It's a pretty good book. It really is. And see, I was number one with a bullet. I was at the top of my game, man. And the American Civil Liberties Union came and sued me, and it looked like all from all measurements, I was done. They so damaged me. They damaged me in my profession. They made me look like, you know how they make Christians look. You know how they do. And here I am. Here I am. And what was the worst thing? What the devil meant for bad, God meant for good. The Lord had to allow that to happen in my life in 1997 to get me where I am today. And I wouldn't go back there. I wouldn't want to go back and be that guy, the guy that wrote that book in 1990, that shallow Christian, although it's a good sports book. It only says there's only one in stock. I wouldn't want to go back and be that guy. Nothing. And we don't like tough times. We don't like it. I think about all the times I've had out during two-a-days, I'd have the guys out running till they thought they were going to drop. And I said, you'll thank me someday. You'll thank me on Friday night, man. You'll thank me on Friday night. You'll thank me on Friday night. That's where the Lord is. I'll thank him when I need it. I'm a pretty tough guy right now. I'm pretty tough. And I have to be tough. And you do too. And when your toughness is needed, you'll thank the Lord. You'll thank him. Thank you, Lord, you took me through this.
Amen.
Lord,
amen, thank you, Coach.
Thank you, Lord, that you took that away from me. Thank you, Lord, that idol that I had. Thank
Amen.
You, Lord. And thank you, Lord, that when I went out and I did what I thought was right, even though I knew it wasn't right, you let me fail. I thank you for that, Lord, because that, you promised me you're going to make that work for good. Are you hearing me, friends? Are you hearing me? And see, many of the things in your life that you looked at like they were dead ends or they were – you were finished. You were down. I always tell everybody, winners bounce, baby. Winners bounce. All of that was a preparation for where we are right now, I believe. And the reason that you are here, still here, watching this, being part of this group, watching this show, whatever, despite what you're hearing from all your other friends, who, by the way, are no longer going to their churches. No, I would love to do a survey to find how many people in these mega churches are actually turning their pastor on Sunday. I think you'd be shocked. I think you'd be shocked. And once you break a habit and break a pattern, then your life changes, right? So I'm just telling you, those of you who are watching, who've taken the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune from people telling you were a tinfoil hat guy and you were crazy and you should stop listening to the coach and you should just read the Bible and you shouldn't worry about it. We're going to be... The Lord's prepared you. You're still here. You're still here. I thank God. That's Romans chapter 5, I think, Jared. See if you can pull that up there. Romans chapter 5. I got some. Here's my dilemma this morning. I always think about Chad. Is Chad in here today? I'm thinking about you, Chad. I got some always thinking about you. Chad's always telling me this. Coach, we need more Bible. Roger Weaver's always saying, Coach, we need more Bible. We need more Bible. And so I come down here in the morning, I think, Lord, do I tell them what's going on? Do I give them more Bible? Because I have to be honest with you. If you don't know what's going on, I'm not sure what good the Bible is for you. Does that sound like a harsh thing to say? If you don't know what you need to apply the Bible for, what good is having it? What good's having a gun and not knowing how to shoot it? What good is that? What good's having a computer and not knowing how to operate it?
Amen. You got to practice.
What good's knowing scripture and not knowing how to apply it and where it needs to be applied? What's different? What good is having all the tools in your toolbox and not knowing which one to use? What good is it? And so I come in, I hear Chad and I hear Roger, we need more Bible. We know. No, I say, no. No, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. It's the knowledge that's destroying us, not the lack of Bible, the lack of knowledge. Because we don't understand what's going on around us, we don't know which tool to pull out of the drawer. We don't understand the times in which we live. We need to be like the men of Issachar who understood the times in which they lived and knew what it was that they needed to do, not just knowing the Bible. Do you understand, my friends, that in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, are you sitting down? They did not have the scriptures. Those who were living and writing the New Testament did not have a copy of it. They were writing it. They were living it. First Testament, first century Christianity.
We
have the Old Testament.
Are we living it?
We're living it, brother. We're living it. We're living it. Therefore, being justified by faith, Romans says, we have peace with God through Lord Jesus Christ. See, there's the issue. Right there's the issue. Most people don't have peace with God. They don't have, look around you. They don't have peace with God. I got peace with God. Sometimes I say, Lord, did I really mess up there? Are you going to hold me accountable for that one, Lord? I didn't. Yes, Lord, I know that I did that intentionally against your will. I know that I did. Please don't hold that to my account. Please. And I think I have peace with God. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Why? Because I'm already a kingdom child. I'm already in the kingdom. And not so only, are you sitting down? But we glory in tribulations also. What?
Coach?
Yeah.
Without that knowledge you're talking about, you don't know if you're supposed to throw them biblical love or biblical bullets.
You know, you don't know which one to use. You don't know which tool to use. But it says that we glory in tribulation. Why do we glory? Thank God. Another scripture, another version, a Roger Weaver version of it says, we thank God for all the problems and trials that we have. We thank God for those. Why? Knowing that tribulation worketh patience. See, it's a process. I lost my job and it forced me to do something else. Winners bounce. This happened to me, I overcame. 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 Why? Because your tribulation worketh patience. I started this business and I lost it, and then I started this one, and now it's building, but I might lose it. Tribulation worketh patience, and patience gives us experience, and experience gives us hope. If you are a Christian without experience, what good? Do you have any hope? Do you have any hope? Are you able to sit and say, oh, I've been here before? Thank you, Lord. I've been here before. I know how this story ends. I get it, because that patience gave me the experience, and the experience gives me hope, because why? I've been here before, right? And hope makes us not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. When people laugh at me, and it happens, behind my back, make fun of me because I'm a tinfoil hat Christian or whatever word you... Hey, I don't get mad. Why? I've been there. I know what they're laughing at. I used to laugh at it too. They don't know what I know. How can they possibly understand what I know if they don't know it? How can they possibly understand? How can I have a conversation? I bumped into my brother. This is the truth. I bumped into my brother in the post office 2 days ago. My brother lives about 6 miles away from it. You don't see him. You don't see your family. I bumped into my brother Bill in the post office. Me and him, the only two in there. He's wearing a cross hat. I walk in the door, there he stands. I hadn't seen him in 2 weeks probably. Had a 30-minute conversation with my brother, who probably, truth be told, he probably thinks I'm crazy. That's all right. I'd say I'm nuts, but I'm screwed onto the right bolt. And you know, he doesn't know what I know. If he knew what I knew, he wouldn't think I was crazy. He just doesn't know. And so I had a conversation. It was going good. And then what I brought in, you know what I brought in? I began to talk to him about 5G. He was transfixed. Stop in a minute. I didn't tell him what the Bible says about 5G. I didn't tell him that this is where this is leading. I didn't tell him about the mark of the beast. I didn't tell him about the rapture. I didn't tell him about any of that stuff. I simply said, have you considered 5G? And here's what it does. And could we be getting sick from that? And I bet you he left there scratching his head. Why? Patience, experience, hope. Wow. What a time to be alive. I hope they laugh at me more. I hope they're laughing every day. I can tell you this. There's a lot of them that aren't. A lot of them that aren't laughing because they are looking for answers. And I'm getting more and more friend requests on Facebook from people locally. Isn't that something? Isn't that? You say, how do you know they're local? I know these people. And I go to Facebook and there's a friend request. I thought, are you kidding me? Because why? Something's happening here, and what it is isn't exactly clear.
They know.
They don't know what's going on.
They know the truth when they hear it, but they avoid it until these times.
That's right. Well, it's right in their face now, right? It's right in their face. They're losing their jobs. Their friends are losing their job. Their kids are losing their job. They walk into Kroger's. Kroger's is packed. They're smart enough. They see what's going on. They don't have So I share the gospel without sharing the gospel, if you know what I'm talking about. Folks, you got to answer their natural questions before you're ever going to get that spirit man. I'm just telling you. You know how it is. So, well, let me tell you. I could have said to my brother Bill, let me tell you what it says here in Romans chapter 5. And I start quoting Romans chapter 5. And Bill, although maybe he wouldn't do that, but most people are going la 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 la. They don't want to hear it. Why? Because the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit. He cannot receive them. And if you are trying to win people to Christ simply by using the scriptures, you will never do it. Why? Because the natural man can't receive it. It has to be from on high. The Holy Spirit has to open his heart and his eyes and his ears that he might see. And sometimes it's outside the scripture. All right, Joseph.
That's why Jesus spoke in parables, Coach. He brought out truth and put right there in the natural so they could see it. And then he moved into the spiritual to see if they would endorse it and take it and eat it. You know,
Randy, Jesus said, I speak in parables so they won't understand, not to lead them to understanding. He told his disciples he spoke in parables so the people who heard would not understand.
That was the Jews, Larry. That was the ones that were going to kill him. That wasn't the people looking for truth.
You're rewriting scripture there.
Now, wait. Now, listen. You know what? Here's what really happened. If you look at it, and I can give you the scripture references if you want. Jesus started speaking in parables right after, in all four Gospels, right after the Jews accused him of doing things by Beelzebub. From that point on, he never spoke but in parables again to them, to the Jews especially. Yes. That's when he did. They accused him of doing that. From that point on, he started speaking in parables.
Here's what I would say. Here's how I do it. Jesus asked questions. He asked questions. And I have found in my evangelistic outreaches, that's the most effective way to do it. Just ask questions. Don't tell people. Ask questions. When you ask a question, they're forced then to give the response. You don't give them the answer. They got to give the answer. You ask the question, let them give the answer.
Specifically, it's their thought about your question that changes them inside. So they're changed when they decide to argue or accept. They've already changed inside. Just processing the question against their current beliefs and cognitive dissonance kicks in. That's when it happens. So you actually believe inside before you speak.
That's a good point, brother. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? Now, I want you to think about this. I made some notes here. Excuse me a second. I had a conversation with Mark Trump yesterday that just little things. Listen, this is why communication is so important. I'm not talking about Mark. I have a conversation with people. People call me. I talk to a lot of people. And people bring up things, and I hang up the phone, and I'm thinking about it. After I hang up the phone, I'm thinking about it, and maybe it pops up later in the day. And I said, you know, that's what Brian said. Or, yeah, golly, So Mark said something to me yesterday, just casually in a phone call we had. Folks, do you understand this? Do you understand that we are electrical beings? You understand that, don't you? Our bodies are electrical. What makes our heart beat? Some electric. In fact, if your heart stops beating, what do? They zap you with those electrical pads, right? Why? Because it's an electrical charge. There's electricity running through our bodies. You pound your toe. I like to watch that Leighton Howerton play music. I don't know if you guys ever seen him do that. But he's playing the guitar and he's singing. And he's got both feet gone. And I'm thinking, how's he doing it? Because, see, there's something inside him when he's playing that music. Something's making his feet go too. It's an electrical charge. We are all electrical. Wow. And you know what else? I was thinking about that. I ate too much last night. I've been on a really, really strict diet. That intermittent fasting, I think I told you about. And I'm allowed to eat. I usually eat from like 1 o'clock till 5 o'clock. I got 4 hours. I can eat as much as whatever I want to for that 4 hour period. And then I don't eat the rest of the day. Been good. I kind of broke it last night because we had the birthday party and all that kind of stuff. And I realized I was eating more than I needed. And then all of a sudden, Mark Trump pops into my head. I think, well, why am I eating? Well, I'm eating because why? I need energy. I need energy. And somehow when I eat the food, put it in my mouth, it converts to energy. Energy. Leighton must need more food after he's playing some music. Why? Because he's used up energy. And people say, man, I'm hungry. Why are you hungry? Because you need some energy, see? So we have natural energy and we have spiritual energy. We're getting spiritual. Some of us are. Some of us are spiritually dead. You walk into churches, those churches that aren't open, they're not open because they're spiritually dead. There's no power in there. How else can it come? I'm not trying to make you mad. I'm just asking you a question. Rodney Howard Brown, watching all that stuff that's going on. Rodney Howard Brown, say what you want to about Dr. Brown. You know what? There's some energy comes off that dude. There's some energy there. I watched him last night. He did a presentation last night on faith. That dude, this energy comes off him. Energy coming off that boy. And you know why so many churches closed down? There ain't no energy in there. There's no energy. Amen. All the lights are on. The lights are on maybe, but there's no energy. Because I'm going to tell you something. You know why people are coming to Rodney Howard Brown? Because they want the energy. And we're dumb enough to think that they can get that energy through the internet, see? That you can get that energy just by watching some pastor give you a sermon, that you'll somehow get spiritually fed. Now, all of you guys know right now, all of you watching right now, know this to be the truth. We come in here every day. We have this program. We do great stuff on this program. But you all know that this cannot compare to a bunch of us getting together in one spot. It cannot compare. Why? Because there's energy in being together. There's energy. Energy.
Amen.
Oh, my goodness. If we could understand this, if we could understand this. Oh,
quick note.
That's why he said we're two or more are gathered, right? We're two or more. One can send 1,000 to fly. Two can send 1,000,000. Why? Because there's an energy. We're in an energy force. We are living in an energy force. It's everywhere
you look.
Everywhere you look. There's light waves. If I turn off these lights, this place goes dark. If I turn them on, they light up. The sun comes up, it gives us light, it creates an energy. You plug something in, you get an energy. We cannot operate without energy. And we are not understanding, we have yet to understand the power that is available to us through the Holy Spirit. We have no concept of it. See, the problem's not God, the problem's us. It's us. We're either not plugged in or we don't understand the power of what we've plugged into. I pushed the plug because it's plugged back here. You have any idea of the power in that plug right there? Holy smokes, you know what that can do? Oh, my goodness. And so our churches are power. Our churches.
He's talking about kinesiology.
Power. powerless, man. They're powerless. And they're powerless because why? We're operating off of man's energy. We're not operating off of the power of the Holy Spirit. Our natural man. We have a natural man and we have a spirit man. And we watch the government tell us that we don't need nourishment for our spiritual man. And people said, yes, Governor, we agree with you, Governor. We agree with you. Here's what we'll do. We'll just friend each other on Facebook. We'll just swipe Facebook and there you'll be, and we'll get fed and it'll be good. It ain't the same. It ain't the same. Energy.
It's parallel, Coach. It's parallel. In other words, when you're on Facebook and you get those bumps every time you get a like, that's feeding your spirit, but not the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Whenever your body gets weak, you eat food. Food's measured in calories. Calories can be converted to BTUs, which is a heat measurement. Food is measured in calories. That's how much energy is in the food. And if you don't burn it, quote, burn, right? They call food burning, right? So there's energy. You're burning energy. It converts to fat if you don't burn it.
Right? What is starvation? What is starvation?
It's lack of energy, but that's the flesh. That's right. The flesh. So right. How do you feed and nourish the spirit? See, I believe the flesh can draw energy from the spirit, but where does the energy come from? For the spirit man. See, is it reading a Bible? No, it's the Word of God. That's Him. It's spending time with Him through the Word of God, through service to others, through things with God with you. And in the spirit, you're getting recharged, and that helps the flesh. That helps your disease. That helps your mind. That helps your...
Michelle said this morning, when she got up this morning, I'm heading down the steps. She got up this morning just before I went down. You know what she said? She said, boy, listen, folks, we were all together last night, right? She says, it felt so good to laugh. Wow. There's an energy force there, isn't there, Mark? There's an energy force in that laughter and in that joy and in that fellowship.
Righteous laughter. Righteous.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. And so look. I got some people coming here this weekend. We're going to do some stuff up at Sky High. Weather's going to be beautiful. Why? Because they're drawn to that energy force. They're drawn to that. And the government, the devil, doesn't want that. He doesn't want that energy force. Can't we see that? I ran around yesterday. I went about four different places. I went into Rural King. I went into Lowe's. I went into Home Depot. I went into another. And they're all full of people. All of them full of people. But I can't go to church. Why can't I go to church? There's a spiritual component to it. And so they say Rodney Howard Brown is having church because why? People's souls need nourished. He's offering soul food. And what does the devil say? You don't need soul food. You can get it just by streaming. Well, why can't I get my stuff just by streaming Lowe's? No, I have to go actually pick it up and bring it back to make it useful. See? So the enemy is trying to do. I'm not against people trying to keep from getting the virus. It's not even about that. We have to look deeper to what's going on. Because even in this mess that we find ourselves in, the devil, that dark force, is ever active trying to destroy good. That's been my explanation in this whole thing. Not whether or not Rodney Howard Brown should have people come to church. That's not the debate. The debate is, can he? Can he?
Well, Coach, if I may, real quick, there's always something that's happening behind the scenes that our natural eye does not see. If we want to control a person's free speech or what's being preached from the pulpits, let's get them in the home so it's streamed on the web, because then we can shut off them off, just like Facebook blocks people, put them in jail. Brother, we can shut down those services unless they're they're doing exactly what China has churches as long as you're preaching what the government allows.
Amen. Amen. So Dale, here's the problem. Go ahead, Jack.
Coach, we can, the six or eight of them can meet at Walmart, the aisles, but we can't meet at Reno's and pray.
That's see, there's a spiritual component to it, right? So here's where I started today that I never really got to. When I came here this morning, I came down. I wanted to be, Chad says, Coach, we need more Bible. Roger says we need more Bible. So I've got that going in my head, but I'm thinking, golly, there it is. But I got some information that's not Bible information that they need to know. They need to know. And I don't want this just to become another tinfoil hat show, but they need to know this. So what do I do, Lord? Do I just read? Roger, would you read verse 7, please? Is that what I do? Or do I say, hey, here's what's going on. Look here. This is going on. Now you know which tool to get out of the toolbox. It's the combination of the two that I believe is the missing element in our churches. We tell people they have tools, but we don't tell them how to use them and when to use them and where to use them and against who to use them. Because why? We don't understand what the enemy's doing. But people are destroyed from a lack of knowledge. We don't get it. Because we don't get it, we don't know how to use our toolbox. So that's the dilemma that I have every day when I come down here. Do I give them more Bible or do I give them?
Hey, Coach, knowledge, yep. Knowledge is this the beginning. Knowledge
right, Randy?
Isn't that the same as teaching your team in the locker room the plays over and over and over and over and over and over, and over but never going to the field?
Well, I think I teach my team the plays over and over and over. So when they go to the field, no matter what the enemy does, they're ready for it. See, that's what I would say.
I teach this, Coach. I'd say I give people knowledge, and then I said, now you have to give away the truth. You have to put it on, wear it, and live it, and do it, and be it. It's no good if it just sits there. You got to use it.
You got to use it. So listen. I'm going to tell you. I'm not going to scare you. I'm just trying to tell you something here, okay? Two things I want to share. Number one, I got word of this. I don't know where. It wasn't from the Lord. April is going to be like no month you've ever lived in your life. This April right now is going to be like no month you have ever lived in your life. I'm telling you. And I've seen from more than one place that we need to prepare for what they are saying is 10 days of darkness. Now, I don't know what that means. When you think of darkness, what do you think of? 10 days of darkness. So I think of no power, no food, no internet, no cell phones. What do you guys think of when you think of 10 days of darkness? Because I'm seeing it in more and more places. This is coming up, 10 days of darkness, whether it be darkness because the good guys are doing something or darkness because the bad guys are doing something. But I hear that over and over and over. Let me ask you, are you prepared for 10 days of darkness?
When the lights go out in the submarine, buddy, it's dark.
All right, so I've been providing some threatened intel to a lot of global companies, and this is what it's about. All of this supply chain movement from China back to the U.S., where did those workers come from? Supply chain is all the parts that make up the stuff we use, not okay. just the final product, but the chemicals that go into the pharmaceuticals.
The screws, the bolts, all that stuff, right?
Right. In 2012 through 14, Obama's election, the government was getting hacked by Russia's, all this talk of it. And he went over there and said, cut it out. You know, everyone notices. So they did. A third of China's hacker force was fired. So what did they do? Well, they began doing production. So they've been doing production, ramping up, converting from hacking over to, you know, part of their force over to doing this production. Well, now all that's shutting down. So where are those workers? Where do they go? What do they do? Well, they're hackers. So the whole world's getting hacked. So how does this tie in? One way, 10 days of darkness and the internet, two separate things could occur, the power grid and the internet, is through a cyber attack. Mm. Okay, so just shelf that. You're going to hear more about it, but that's what's coming. And I've been saying it like a year or two ago, the power grid's coming down. It'll eventually happen. So this ties in, Coach.
10 days of darkness, right? 10 days of darkness. Maybe it's going to be 30. I'm telling you, April is going to be like no month you've ever lived in your life. I'm just telling you. I'm just telling you, folks. The world's on fire, okay? The world's on fire. Are you prepared for 10 days of darkness? Every time I tell Michelle we ought to go to the store again today, she looks at me like I'm half crazy. I'm preparing for 10 days of darkness. For who? For all of those people who were in my living room last night. Because they're not taking it seriously. They're not. And who else am I? Can I be able to help while the stuff is able to, while we're able to get it? The supply chain is breaking down. Now, what's causing it to break down? That doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. But they've now got us hunkering down, right? Staying away from each other, not being able. How about a chance meeting of my brother in the post office to open his eyes to 5G that I know he thinks about all the time now, because he's not a fool. Not a fool.
Hey, Coach, can I suggest something?
Sure.
If you haven't done it already, all the people that are preparing and making, thinking about this 5-10 days of darkness, turn your master switch off on your house for 12 hours. See what happens. See what you can and cannot do. Throw your keys. Put your keys to your car away. You can't take your car.
Outstanding.
Turn the power off. See what happens.
Great,
experiment.
Great idea.
Because you'll know what to do tomorrow to prepare for the next day.
And Jack, what a great point, man. Practice it, huh? Practice
it. If you don't, you won't know how to do it. I'm telling you, you won't know how to do it. You'll be amazed at what you cannot do, that you have to do.
Okay, folks, listen. I got 20 minutes here. I got 20 minutes. I want to try to get Robert in as well. I want to show you three things that I think are important about this 10 days of darkness, okay? And the stuff that we've been talking about. And because, again, if you don't know what's going on, you don't know that's the problem with our churches. People don't know what's going on, so they don't have the tool. If they have the tool, they don't use it. They've never used it. They don't know where to use it. They don't know what's supposed to do it. I've got this wonderful skid steer that Randy loaned me to use at Sky High. And every time I get on that thing, I learn a little bit more about how it works. When I got first on it, I got everybody laugh at me. Mark Trump was there. When I first got on that thing, I ended up upside down. I thought I was going to die. Thank God I had a seatbelt on. I didn't have any idea what I was doing. So I had the tool, but I didn't know how to use it. And every time I go out, I go a little bit slower with it and how the foot pedals work, and I get a little bit better on it. Every time I operate, I get a little bit better, okay? That's what our churches are supposed to be doing for us, and they're not doing it for us. So Jared's got this up there. Jared, it says, because we talked about this, go to the 6-minute mark, Jared, and we're only going to watch about 6 minutes of this, because we were talking the other day about 5G, and I'm telling you, folks, there is something to this 5G. I still don't know what it is, but I want you to watch just about, this is a great video. It's 18 minutes, but I just want you to watch about 5 minutes of this real quick. I'm making you aware, folks, hear me. 5G is real. The virus is real, but so is 5G. And if you don't know that, you're not going to be able to operate your tools properly. Go ahead. 6-minute mark. Picking it up probably right in the middle of a sentence. Go ahead.
Moreover, those viruses will be resistant to any type of drugs known today. But we've got something that might help. A pill to cure all diseases has been invented.
And this technology could actually help you live up to 150 years.
This is a laboratory in Krasnoyarsk. Here, robot technicians create microscopic robots which will be able to live in our bodies and treat diseases. There are millions of them on this plate. Are you ready to see them? Here is what a nanodisc looks like. It's so tiny that 50,000 of these put in a row are still thinner than a human hair. Each disc consists of gold and nickel layers and contains a biologically active molecule. Today, this white rat is our patient. Our rat is put into a device with a magnetic field, which helps to operate nanodiscs. The magnetic field to operate nanodiscs.
A company based in Boston, they've just created what they believe to be the first potential coronavirus vaccine. Obviously, this won't be available on the market for months. However, I have suspicions and curiosities regarding the vaccine, the potential for a vaccine for coronavirus or for COVID-19, and the possibility that inside that medicine, inside that vaccine, or used to create that vaccine, nanobots, nanomites, basically nano robotics. You can see in the images on the screen how small they are, down to the size of a red blood cell and smaller. Now, in my interpretation, if these nanobots are injected into the bloodstream, and you know, they're the things that are responsible for making people better, obviously people are gonna, you know, they're not gonna know it's nanotechnology, but you know, the vaccine is gonna work. Just to the masses, that's how it's gonna look. The vaccine is going to work, so a lot of people are gonna get it. Now, after the virus has been cured by the nanobots, they don't leave the system. They stay within the body and can, in fact, you know, collect somewhere in the body and just sit there waiting. Waiting for what? The final thing, 5G. Now, we know that they started releasing this fifth generation wireless technology in 2019, and we're going to have a wide rollout throughout 2020. Now, I feel that the 5G technology could be used to send commands to those nanobots. That if the vaccine contains nanobots or nanorobotics, and those robots, those nanobots, are kept within the human body, they could be used at a later date. 5G technology can serve a huge amount of data at the same time, which is the big difference between 3G, 4G, and 5G. Obviously, 5G is the fastest of the wireless networks or wireless technologies, and enables people to transfer massive amounts of data very, very quickly. So, if there was central command, for example, one day the command is sent out, the 5G technology sends the signal all around the world in, you know, very short space of time, and all those nanobots that are collected in people's bodies come into action. 5G technology, the coronavirus, nanotechnology, this vaccine, you know, suddenly it only took them around 40 days from sequencing to producing the vaccine, which is an incredibly fast turnaround time for vaccine production. I feel that there's more to it than just, you know, good luck and smart people. Obviously, these things are planned well in advance, so it's the possibility that, you know, they could have been working on this vaccine for a long time. But in my opinion, the nanotechnology, the 5G technology, and the coronavirus are all linked together.
Now, the two documents, I'll read them out to you. The cover page document.
Video. Jared will put it in the link. I'm going to show you something right now. Hey, Randy, I want you to come in. I want you to unmute yourself, okay? Randy lives in Oklahoma. I don't know how far Oklahoma is from here, but it's probably a long way. Can you say something, Randy, right now?
Yeah, here, okay. I'm here.
Okay, Randy, here. I'm going to send you, folks, let's say Randy's 500 miles. Well, hang on. How far from Hebron, Ohio to Oklahoma City?
Oklahoma City is about 945 miles from Hebron by car, or about 878 miles as the crow flies.
945 or 878 miles as the crow flies. Now, I'm going to send Randy a message, and I want you to ask yourself, folks, how can this possibly work Remember, this is not 5G. They just told us 5G is faster than anything we've ever seen. Randy, I'm going to send you this message. Can you hold your phone down there some way so people can hear it when it pings in there? Are you ready, Randy?
Yeah.
875 miles. Here we go. 1, 2, 3.
Bing.
5G is 10 times faster than that, folks. 10 times faster than that. And as we've been saying here for a while, Trump's been trying to alert us to it for quite a while, they can inject these things into our blood system through vaccines. Through a lot of different ways. I mean, maybe through pills now. Who knows? And these things, see, you can read the Bible all you want to if you don't know what you're fighting against.
You can breathe the nanotech, Coach. You can breathe it. It's in your bloodstream. It can be a field can be put on it. The field is going to allow it to assemble. When these nanoparticles assemble, they form a larger field that can then be controlled and commanded, store programs. And once these nanotechs in your body, they can use your cells. The cells in your body can be set to binary digits, 0 and 1. So they can control the field on your individual cells and turn them into bits. So in effect, once this nanotech's in our body, they'll keep us alive because we'll be processing units. We're going to be storage units. We're going to create energy, calories, Coach. We create calories for the machines to do this.
Mm. So if you don't, you know, if we don't understand the times in which we live, we don't know what it is that we're that Israel's supposed to do. Okay, now hang on. I'm not trying to scare you, although I wish I could. I don't even know what, because remember the Bible tells us that their men's hearts are going to fail them for fear for things coming upon the earth. I want you to think about this. Satan said to Eve, eat this apple and you will be like God. Hasn't that been the goal of the enemy? Hasn't that been the goal of Satan? Eternal life without Christ. Wouldn't the greatest thing Satan could ever do is to stick his finger in the Lord's eye and say, we are going to create eternal life apart from you. That's what's going on. What's going on? Trying to turn us into robots, controlled outside of our own bodies. You say, Coach, that's the most unbelievable, crazy thing I've ever heard. Well, then go to the post office, talk to my brother. It's real stuff, man. This is real, real stuff. April will be like no month you've ever lived in your life. Now, I want to show you something else. Jared, pull up. How much time do I got? I got time here. Jared, pull up just where it says natural news. This is an article I wish all of you would take the time to go see. Mike Adams, the health ranger. I trust him. The third from the bottom, Jared. It's the one where it says Mike Adams on the economy. The one above that, Jared. Click on that one. And Mike Adams, health ranger, 3 unmistakable signs that war is coming to America. I'm not trying to scare you, okay? I'm not trying to scare you, okay? I'm not. Scroll down, Jared. 3 unmistakable signs going on right now that you're not hearing a whole lot about. Number one, sign number one, President Trump activated 1 million military reservists with medical skills to treat battlefield injuries. Details of this order are found in the EO text at thewhitehouse.gov. Go check it out. He's activated 1 million reservists with what skills and battlefield industry. And could it be that we're about to be invaded? Number two, the Pentagon has ordered high-level staffers into deep underground bunkers in Colorado. This was announced by NORAD and NORTHCOM in a Facebook town hall meeting. Obviously, you don't order military staffers into a 2,000-foot bunker just because of a virus. Number three, Secretary of State Pompeo just ordered all Americans living overseas to return to the U.S. immediately. The cover story for this is that the coronavirus is collapsing international flights. But that alone would not justify all Americans returning from living overseas, since many Americans would just hunker down where they're living. But Pompeo wants all Americans to return immediately, which is the kind of thing you would do before war breaks out. And he says, with China, most likely, because we are already at war with China. Okay? Am I scaring anybody? Say, Coach, go back to the Bible. We need more Bible. Okay, well, I'm just trying to let you see this so you know how to apply the Bible. Lord, what I want you. Jared, go to Mike Adams on the economy. This is Mike Adams again, the health ranger. Because we were talking about money. I don't even know, folks, the next April is going to be like no month you've ever lived. Just telling you. And Jared, go to the start. I don't want to scroll down. I'm sorry. Going down, you'll see Mike Adams at the bottom. Keep going on down. Get a little video here. Keep going. This is a great article, but this on down a little bit more. Sorry, bud. Should have given you a little bit more of a warning. There it is. No, go on down. That's it. See if you can pull that up there, Jared, and start at the 1 minute mark.
So you now have the surprise.
This isn't it, Jared. Go down. There's one more. I'm sorry, buddy. Go down one more. The economy, as you know it, is about to come to an end. Is that might be it. Try that. That's Mike. That's him. Yeah, okay. Start at the 1 minute mark. And listen what Mike Adams has to say here.
Just in time to the grocery stores, the world of debt upon which all of the illusion of financial abundance has been built. All of these worlds are coming to an end. The world of low unemployment is coming to an end. The world of going out to eat at a restaurant is coming to an end. I mean, even if this reverses, even if the virus were to vanish in 60 days, which of course is impossible, but if it did, you still have the string of bankruptcies. I heard one analyst say last night that he thought 80% of the restaurants in America would go bankrupt. 80%. That means you're not going out to eat for a long time, folks. A long time. That means you're going to have to learn how to probably can food. You're going to have to learn how to cook, how to make lentil soup or whatever it is that you make. That you want to eat. If you want to eat, you'll learn how to cook. We're all in the same boat. I'm doing the same thing too. But the biggest upshot from all of this is probably the financial implications are, of course, beyond epic. This is the most significant financial event that you will ever witness in your lifetime, that any of us will ever witness. This is going to be more catastrophic than 9/11 by far, more catastrophic than the Lehman event of 2008, a subprime mortgage collapse, more catastrophic than Black Monday of 1987, and probably more catastrophic than the Great Depression. We are talking about unemployment rates that may reach, well, I heard one analyst say 50%. For some reason, I think that's too pessimistic. I think it might reach 30%. In the Great Depression, it was only about 21%. We're going to see the destruction of the GDP. The GDP may plunge 25%. I mean, these are numbers that no one ever could have imagined even a month ago. We're going to see the destruction of capital because, of course, capital these days is based on debt. So it's going to be destroyed for the simple reason that most of it never existed anyway. It's just a bunch of paper contracts, a bunch of derivatives, a bunch of interest rate bets, and you're going to see the destruction of the dollar. That's where this is going. That's the really big upshot here. This is the end of the dollar. Well, I should say this is the beginning of the end of the dollar. The dollar will collapse probably within 2 years or less. The end of the dollar, the world's reserve currency. And when the dollar ends and it collapses, what's going to happen to you and your bank accounts is exactly what happened to the people of Zimbabwe or Ecuador or Argentina or Weimar Germany or 100 other examples throughout history where people held fiat currency. We don't even really call it money. Money holds value. Fiat currency loses value. So people held currency, and the dollar is a currency. It's not really money. And when they, whatever they were left holding at the end was what they lost. So you could have $10 million in the bank, wake up one morning, and it's worth 10 million pennies of purchasing power. If that, that's a 99% loss. You might lose 100%. I've been having these conversations with many people lately about the collapse of the dollar. First, we'll see hyperinflation because we have way more currency chasing the same limited amount of goods, groceries, and non-existent services, things like that. And it won't take long for food prices to skyrocket, especially with the helicopter money policies and the QE infinity, that's quantitative easing infinity bailouts by the Fed, which is now buying corporate bonds. So the Fed is buying corporate debt to prop up the markets. Can you believe that? This is the beginning of the end of the dollar. Mathematically, it's already a done deal. It's only a question of sort of how long it takes, but this is the end of the dollar. This is the end of the United States of America as we know it. And you may recall, I predicted that over the last couple of years, that Trump would be the last president of the United States of America. The economic impact will be even more devastating than the virus itself in terms of fatalities, because we, humanity, we built a system of economics that was doomed over a decade ago. It was doomed in 2008. It was doomed in 2001. The dot-com crash. But instead of fixing the problems, we allowed the doom to grow to the point where all it took was a virus to initiate the crash of the system, a system that was a suicide pact from the very start. So that's where we are right now. We will not escape this with the dollar intact. And whatever you're holding in dollars, in a bank account, in pensions, in whatever, you will lose that. Everyone will. That's the reality that's now starting to hit home for many people. And I'll keep you posted, of course, at pandemic.news, because there are strategies.
Not trying to scare you, but just folks, just it all makes sense. It doesn't somewhere in that Bible talk about a wheelbarrow full of coins or a loaf of bread? Somewhere in that Bible, I think it does. So I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to awaken you to understand the times in which we live and know what it is that Israel needs to do. What do you need to do? April, I'll say it again, will be like no month you have ever lived. April 2nd, go ahead and read it, Robert. It's up on the screen for you, Ben.
All right. A hidden life of devotion must be balanced by an outer life of demonstration. What then shall we do? Part one. Evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. We're being deceived today. False Christ, false prophets, false apostles will arise who will deceive by their false signs and wonders and miracles all who are not abiding in the true Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. They will profess to be wise, but are fools, will pretend to be spiritual, but have no Holy Spirit. They will boast of having power, but are only empowered by the God of this world. Though they may have a popular name and clout with the underworld, they are profane and without the God of heaven. While they proclaim with their mouth Christian jargon, they deny sound doctrine. Let them play their games. Wise Christian soldiers, those informed, will run the race that matters, preaching the good news about the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, testifying solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God, effective in those exercising genuine repentance toward God and true biblical faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not content with merely making converts, but disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not consumed with building a church, but passionate about being the church. So it's time to rise up and understand the times. Get prepared.
Folks, you know this. Robert, folks, you know this. I don't do this very often. I ask you to share this show with as many people as you can. This has been an unbelievable hour. Unbelievable hour. Now hear me. Some people won't receive it, but some people will. And you have an obligation to inform those that you love to what's coming down the highway. This will be the most cataclysmic April this month in the history of our lifetimes. I'm promising you that. We're going to be some apple carts that are going to be upset. But hey, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Let's not say with a downtrodden look and all hell. Let's just speak the truth, man. Tell them, get ready, because it's coming. Hunker down. Be prepared. God bless you. See you tomorrow.